Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz Show. And we do this show every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, or the other time zones around the country. I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. My brand new web sports page, got a lot of good stuff on there. It's kind of off to a slow start, but I'm going to pick up the pace as we move closer to the fall. But here's a guy that's never slow, and I love talking to him. I've done shows with him. He's going to be on the first Tuesday of every month on the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz Show. He's out of Philadelphia. There isn't a subject he doesn't know in depth about in sports. He's a rising media star, and it's an honor to know him, Jovan Alford, out of Philadelphia. Jovan, kind of exciting you're going to be on every first Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks again, Greg, for having me on. Like you said, I'm going to be on here every first Tuesday of the month, so definitely, you know, glad to be on talking, like, literally everything in sports. This is the Greg Crawford Sports Business Show. They're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, so can't wait.
Oh, yeah, and Jovan, before we get right into the meat of the program, or we should say the 76er of the program or the Phillies of the program or anything else, tell everybody what you're doing now and how they can get a hold of you and how they can read you.
Well, yeah, well, currently, right now I'm doing, currently I'm at a nonprofit organization as a communications intern, so right now I'm doing that, but after that, when that's over, after 5 o'clock p.m., I'm back to TotalSportsLive.com, so that's where you can check my workout, my staff's workout at. TotalSportsLive.com is part of the Blogwin Network. Pretty much just covers everything Philadelphia sports, and you got a tab for the national sports, if you want to get your little fix on for that. And you can pretty much follow me on Twitter at Jovan10, that's Jovan10. So you can check out all that stuff right there.
And Jovan, you were a young man, budding career when you started Total Sports Live, and it's sustained. Most things don't sustain nowadays, but it has. And you really have a big following, and you've really done well with that.
Yeah, it's been, like you said, especially like you, me and you know, being just like just watching the media field and, you know, sports sites in general, you know, they don't, you know, stand the test of time. You know, a lot of sites just go under. They just can't put out the same effort they've been putting out, and, you know, it just goes under. But me, I don't know how I just keep going, but I just keep it going because I just love sports, and I always feel like there's always something to talk about or something to write about. So that's what, you know, keeps me going, and we're going to keep on pushing. You know, it's the dog days of sports right now. Thankfully, we got some summer league hoops going on, but when we get back to fall, I think everybody will be refreshed to go charged up because that's when the sports turn around and we get back to all the good stuff. But right now we're in the dog days, but we'll make it through.
And I want to get back to Jovan here. Had a little technical difficulty, and I'm still trying to set this back up. And I'll ask him, Jovan, are you still with us?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry about that. I dropped off for some reason. That happens with Blog Talk Radio or any type of radio program, but I'm glad you're still with us, and you were talking a little bit about the success of Total Sports Live, which I missed, but I know you got that out, and we'll talk about it before we end. But Jovan, living in Oregon, you know what I'm going to ask you next. People loved him when he was here. Break down, how's Chip Kelly doing? Is this a make-or-break year for Chip Kelly with the Eagles? And what do people think of him in Philadelphia? I know we talked about it before, but we got a ton of listeners tonight, new ones.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people, like we talked the last time I was on here, a lot of people are cautiously optimistic with what Chip is doing, especially this offseason. Pretty much, you know, giving his team a makeover, trading away Nick Foles to St. Louis for Sam Bradford, who was coming off an injury, trading LeSean McCoy away, who was a top three running back in the NFL, trading him away to Buffalo Bills for Kiko Alonso, Oregon Duck, who is coming off of an injury as well himself, but he replaced him with replaced McCoy with DeMarco Murray. Then they let Jeremy Maclin walk. They signed Byron Maxwell, so a big deal. So it's a lot of cautious. It was cautiously optimistic because you never see in sports in general, you never see when the new guy comes in, you never see this like whole just makeover per se, especially when the head coach is on it, and now especially since he's the head coach and kind of de facto GM. So he's making personnel calls at the same time. And I never like when I see coaches also playing a GM role. I feel like there's no conversation or no person over top of you to, you know, help you make those decisions. So I think it's cautiously optimistic. Fans are still, you know, fans still love Chip just because of what he brings to the NFL, the way he's changing the game with his speed of his offense, which, you know, teams are starting to try to duplicate more on now all of a sudden. Teams, if the Eagles wanted the Eagles coordinator to get left go, they're going to try to duplicate it wherever they go next. So Eagles fans are cautiously optimistic about Chip this season. They want results. They want a playoff. They want a division title. They want a playoff win this year. So the expectations are, I'd say, pretty high for this team coming up.
Do you think that are Eagle fans expecting a Super Bowl appearance fairly short from Chip Kelly? And if you went down the street with a microphone like Jay Leno used to do, Siobhan, what would be the reaction of the man and woman on the street?
A lot of them definitely would say they're expecting the Super Bowl in a couple of seasons. You know, Philadelphia is starved for not only a championship, well, sort of, because we had the Phillies in 08, but they're starved for a Super Bowl more. They're starved for a Super Bowl. They're tired of, you know, not making the playoffs and getting bounced in the first round. You know, they're tired of that. Fans, you know, they wanna see a Super Bowl. So they're expecting a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. I'm telling you this right now. If Chip Kelly doesn't make the playoffs this upcoming season, being year three, where we really start to, you know, see if a coach really have it and really start grading the coach, if he doesn't get it done in year three, then year four, five, we could possibly say he's going to be on the hot seat, because Eagles fans do not want another repeat of Andy Reid being here for 4 years and only making it to one Super Bowl appearance.
Siobhan, how's the media in Philadelphia? Been there often. I have a lot of friends like you there. I know what it's like as a sports town. Let me ask you, how's the media treated Chip Kelly? Do they like him? And does Chip Kelly like the media?
I think the media does like Chip to an extent, but at the same time, they want to ask him questions that he just won't give the answer to. And we know coaches are going to do that. They're not going to give you the answer that you want to give them. They're not going to give you the answer to the question that you want to hear. So I think that's one of the things fans are really trying to, you know, they want to ask Chip certain questions, but he won't. They say sometimes that he's a little snarky, a little arrogant, which, you know, he can definitely come off that way in his press conference, like he doesn't have the answer for a certain move that he does. So I think Chip actually loves the media, unless the Eagles lose a game and it's a close one and he gets questioned about questionable calls that he should have did, or should he ran the ball on the goal line. Then we're going to get a little bit of snarky Chip, which isn't so fun. And then that just sets, you know, Twitter ablaze with their with fans get angry, and yeah, so then it just gets all wild and out of control after that. But I said, for the most part, the media does like Chip. For the most part, I think they do.
What is the what's the biggest rivalry in the National Football League for all the people listening around the country that don't live in the Philadelphia area? Who is Philadelphia's biggest rivalry in the NFL?
Well, some people, if you live in the northeast section of the country, some people would say, oh, it's Eagles-Giants. That's the big rivalry. No, it's not. The rivalry is the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles-Cowboys is a huge rivalry. Even though there's some Cowboys fans who don't consider Eagles Cowboys a rivalry, they consider Cowboys Redskins more of a rivalry. But the Eagles fans, Eagles Cowboys is a big rivalry, and now you got these teams matching up on Thanksgiving. Not this year, but matching up against Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving last year, which was just you know, crazy. So it has reignited the rivalry, and then a few years back, the Eagles had to beat the Cowboys to even make the playoffs, and they had like two or three weird things happening, like the Raiders beating the Buccaneers or something else fell through. So the Eagles had to beat the Cowboys at Lincoln Financial Field here in Philadelphia, and the Eagles stomped the Cowboys like 44-6 or some kind of crazy number like that. So the rivalry is still, you know, it's still crazy, because trust me, man, here in Philadelphia, you will meet some, I call them Philadelphia Cowboys fans. They love the Dallas Cowboys, and you just wonder, how do they like the Dallas Cowboys in Philadelphia? It's so weird to me.
So, Von, you know, from the standpoint of the Philadelphia 76ers, mm-hmm. You know, is this just a totally sick franchise that no matter how many immunizations you give them are not going to recover?
I thought that for a while until the draft and this past week in the first week of free agency. I had to sit back and actually think about what the process developing, because I was one of the biggest criticisms of the process, and I still am to this day. But when I seen the Sixers get Jahlil Okafor, who was a dominant big man in college basketball this year, and I see it was so good that, you know, you don't have a big man that's not injured that actually get to play and get to see him play, and you get to see him play in the summer league in his first two games, which have just been outstanding, phenomenal, just get you excited. And then you see he makes a trade to get in Nick Stauskas, who's definitely in need and an upgrade at the shooting guard position. So now you're starting to see him put a semblance of NBA roster together. So now I think we're starting to see the process. I used to think that I was very critical, and like you said, is it a sick franchise? I was starting to think, like, is this man crazy? What is he thinking? What is he doing? And now you're starting to see him start to make little moves and shakes, especially with free agency and all the money is flying around. And I know this is the sports business show, so I definitely wanted to get your opinion, Greg, if we got time, to get your opinion on the crazy contracts that are flying around. But I think that, you know, I think that with the Sixers, I used to think that, but I still do. But since he made some moves in free agency, what was a trade, but it wasn't a sign-in. It was a trade, but even though we did that, I'm starting to understand the process just a little bit more. Still got holes to fill, but I'm starting to see it slowly.
So, Vaughn, what is the state of, do people enjoy soccer? I mean, we just come off the Women's World Cup. Everybody's pumped mm-hmm. up about mm-hmm. it. Do people in the Philadelphia greater area, do they enjoy soccer? You know, I know we have a lot of your fans listening tonight. Pacific Northwest is obviously in the MSL, a hotbed for soccer with Seattle and mm-hmm. Portland sell out every game. But how about Philadelphia? What's the mood for soccer there?
I think Philadelphia is actually a solid soccer town. I mean, soccer city. I mean, it's not like you said, Portland and Seattle, which the Timbers and the Sounders just do a tremendous job. Wow, just tremendous. When you watch their games, it's like going to a football game because they're always loud, as crazy, as packed. Then it can be the same. It's the same thing here in Philly. The Philadelphia Union technically don't play in Philly. They play in Chester, which is like 30 minutes outside of the city, and it's right on the Delaware, I think, but it's a nice scenic view, and the fans really do come out for the Union. They have their own group, the Sons of Ben, which is just a fantastic fan base. But it's not there yet with soccer here in the city. It's still the four majors, but I hope soccer eventually gets there because the Union does put out good product. I just wish that they, you know, just keep the core player that they need to keep and build around that. Because when you bring a new fan to a new sport, you always don't want to have change and, you know, getting rid of this player for that player and that player for this player, because how can you ever learn who's on your team and who's that? And I think that's more of the union in just Philadelphia, I think that's an MLS issue that the MLS needs to figure out, because they need to start keep on bringing in big names so then soccer can grow. Because like you said, we just came off a huge Women's World Cup where we had United States fans here involved. Now we just need to see it carry over into our MLSs and in the professional women's soccer league here in the U.S. So we just need to see that carry over. And I think that's the same thing that needs to be said here in Philadelphia. The media has to start covering more and, you know, just keep on supporting, because that's only going to make the product better on the field and throughout the league. It's a domino effect.
When you talk about Pennsylvania sports, you know, the part of the lore of that is Arnold Palmer, Latrobe, Pennsylvania, his hometown. Are people in the Philadelphia area, the state, excited for the U.S. Women's Open Golf Tournament, which starts on Thursday at Lancaster Country Club? Is there much buzz about that?
Not really, which is shocking. Not really. There hasn't been a lot of talk about it. Just when you just brought it up now, that was the first time of me hearing about it. So it's not really something that's big here. I mean, probably they'll start talking about it. They'll probably start talking about it on the news stations. You'll probably get like a quick story about it on the sports section of the news telecast, and probably Comcast Sportsnet will do a little quick thing on about it. But really, nobody's really not talking about it, which is shocking because I didn't even hear about it. You just brought it up now, so I guess I'm going to keep my eye out and look out for that to see if people actually start talking about that.
And Jovan, part of Pete Rose's career was spent in Philadelphia, a successful part of it. How is Pete looked at, in Philadelphia? It's going to be a big battle to get him back involved in baseball. Is there mixed feelings like there is around the rest of the country, or is he totally revered in Philadelphia?
When it comes to Pete Rose here in Philly, the interesting thing is people rarely talk about him, which is odd because, like you said, his most successful years were here in Philadelphia, but nobody really talks about him when he talks about those teams that he was on. They usually bring up the Steve Carlton, the Larry Boas, you know, those type of players that were on the team, the Mike Schmidt, the Greg Zinksies. Like those type of players, Pete Rose really never crosses nobody's mind when they bring up the Phillies, which is odd to say because, like you said, you know, in baseball he's a pretty integral part for good or for bad. He's a pretty integral part, and that most of his better time in Philadelphia was his best year. So nobody really, you know, talks about him like that.
You can't talk about Philadelphia without talking about the great Harry Callis. NFL football, the voice of NFL films, the tremendous career with the Phillies. When I was on KFXX, the original sports station here in Portland, starting in 1989, I interviewed him many times. He never turned us down. I imagine he is revered in Philadelphia even today after his death.
Yeah, no, definitely. Philly's baseball is and will never be the same without Harry Callis. I mean, anybody who watches Philly baseball knows Harry Callis and him calling a game and his great calls. And, you know, the day that he died, it was sad because, you know, it was just unexpected. And I remember that day, too, because I was in high school. And I had just got out, and I had just heard the news, and it was kind of just like a blow because when you're, you know, coming up in the sports broadcasting, if they're saying stuff, you know, you want to do this, like, especially here in Philly, you know, you have a lot of great broadcasts, but Harry Callis, like, that guy, he's like the number one on Mount Rushmore. So you always, you know, you always try to, I know me personally, you always try to emulate his home run calls. You try to see how he, you know, does things, and he's, you know, a true professional. He's one of the best, and like I said, Philly's baseball will never be the same without hearing his voice calling baseball games because he was just, you know, he's one of the best. He's like what Vince Scully is like to the Dodgers, you know. You just, they're synonymous. When you ever think of Dodgers baseball, you think of Vince Scully.
Jovan, if the charter bus pulled up in front of your place and you could invite 10 of your friends, any of your friends, and I know you got many, and sitting on the front windshield of that bus was Phillies, Eagles, you know, Flyers, 76ers. Where would the majority of those people grab the tickets for? Would it be the Eagles?
Yeah, it would be the Eagles, without a doubt. It would be the Eagles. No disrespect to the teams, but it would probably be Eagles first, Philly second, and the tie between the Flyers and the Sixers, I'll say that. But most everybody would gravitate to try to get an Eagles ticket, without a doubt. Everybody would try.
And I probably left out tickets to a triple header at the Plestra, maybe as equally a famous a basketball, college basketball arena as Madison Square Garden. If you haven't been to a game there, there's nothing like it. But college basketball is huge in Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely it is. College basketball Saturdays are huge here in the city when you got especially six local teams. So there's six. If they're ball playing in the city, you got a lot of games going off, probably synonymously at time, a couple games at 12. You might have some at 2, then you might have the one at 4 or 3 o'clock. So there's a lot of games going on. Like you said, the college basketball here in the city is just, you know, it's amazing. It's an amazing time of the year, especially when it begins. And like you said, some of the teams get to play in the Plestra, which is, you know, is a great thing. And hopefully they do bring back the doubleheaders and tripleheaders. But that's only going to, you know, has only going to revive City Hoops because we need it here in the city because we only get on a good year, we only get two teams in, and last year we only got one. So maybe bringing a doubleheader and tripleheader back to Plestra helps bring back that rivalry and that sense of rivalry that you get, because I feel like over the past 2 years there hasn't been so much rivalry between the teams per se. I know for Temp, when I went to LaSalle, it was always a big rivalry with Temple, especially when they came to our house. When was that, 2012, I think? 2012 or 2011, when they came to our house. That was a rivalry, and that was, I think, Temple's last year in the A-10 before they left. So that's the kind of rivalry we need to see back in, you know, college basketball here in Philadelphia.
Jovan, a non-sports question. You know, it's kind of sad what we're hearing about the great Bill Cosby. That greatness probably will be taken away. Tremendous connection to Temple University.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's quite a sad subject in the city of Philadelphia, Bill Cosby.
Yeah, it's been sad. It's been actually shocking because nobody didn't know this stuff. And especially for Temple, you know, definitely when you think of Temple made, you think of Bill Cosby and, you know, the great things he's done for that school. And it's just like it's all tarnished for what's happening outside of the education, not taking nothing away from the school. But what he stood for, it just doesn't mean a lot anymore. And, you know, it's sad, you know. It's sad because this was the man that we, like I said, that gave a lot of money to Temple for programs. And we saw him on TV doing the Cosby Show, which was relatable to a lot of people coming up back in the 80s. I want to say that show came out. It was relatable. And then we had spinoffs from the show that was relatable to people. And, you know, and then when there's just all this stuff comes out, just like you said, just puts a bad light on everything. You know, it makes you question. It makes you question the man that we've seen on TV or that's connected to Temple that gave Temple so much, you know. It's just like you said,
no question. Very sad. And closing tonight, Jovan, and you're going to join us every first Tuesday. People love hearing from you. Do such a fabulous job working with me. Who's the biggest media sports personality in Philadelphia right now? Who's the top of the hill?
That's hard. That's really hard because there's so many people. I'll say right now the top media person, and this is going to be it's not going to be such for a good reason, is Howard Eskin here in Philadelphia, and it's very good because he helps with the Eagles on sideline and does his own radio show and all that stuff. But it's bad because of how he criticizes teams or how bad he criticizes teams. His criticisms are very hot take-ish. So he's probably that guy. Yeah, it's him.
Did you have fun tonight, Javon?
Yeah, it was definitely a good show, and it was a good time, you know, coming on. I always appreciate coming on.
And we covered a lot of subjects. How can people read you and get a hold of you?
Yeah, like I said, you can follow me on Twitter at Jovanton, at JOVAN10. And you can follow Total Sports Live on Twitter as well. And like I said, you can check out my work and my SaaS work right on TotalSportsLive.com, part of the Blog One Network. We got a lot of NBA coverage rolling out right now with free agency. I'm doing like a whole three takeaways from each Sixers summer league game right now. So I should have some game twos summer league report coming out later this morning or this afternoon. Everybody can take a read at fullsportslive.com. So, yeah, just got a lot of stuff rolling and running here.
And, of course, you're always updating on Chip Kelly, and forever he'll be remembered in Oregon as somebody that just, you know, and Mike Bellotti was great, but Chip Kelly really electrified Oregon football, Javon. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He took, and like you said, Bellotti laid the stepping stone. He laid the stepping stone, and Chip Kelly laid the stepping stone, made the steps, built the house, walked through the door, just really took Oregon to another level from jerseys, the players, the offense. He literally took that school to the next level.
Good night, Javon. Best to everybody back there. Good night, listeners. That's Javon Alpert. He joins us every first Monday on the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz program. We'll be back again next Tuesday night, 10 o'clock. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to make all your free throws and